This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Saligi Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
It is the Friday edition of the Gas House Gang right here on KMOX. As Mike Claiborne is here, I'm Matt Pauly. It is great to have you with us today. We take you for the next hour or so, and we're going to be talking pretty much nothing but Cardinals baseball. That's what we do on the Gas House Gang here on KMOX. Claibs, team's been on the road for a little while. I haven't been able to see you. Good to see you. We'll be at the ballpark together later on today.
Looking forward to it. It's a short trip, a short homestand, rather. And then as we start this 17 games in a row, which I think is going to be quite interesting to see how deep the organization is when it comes to pitching.
Yeah. There's a lot of questions going into this. And actually, I'm glad you said that because that's really where I wanted to lead off today, because I think we're 24 games into the season. It's been very good with that 14-10 record. They have outplayed the expectations of a lot of people from the outside. And now to really make that real, Claibs, they have to keep it going. And I don't just look at these next 17 games. Between now and June 1st, they have one series against Kansas City, and then every other series they play, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Dodgers, Milwaukee, the A's are off to a good start, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, the Cubs. It's a lot of really good teams the Cardinals are going to be playing. I think it's going to be really interesting to see where this team is at on June 1st. And I know that's a little bit before Flag Day, not trying to offend your sensibilities, I think it's going to be interesting to see what they look like at that point.
Well, you know, if you go back to last season, it was a pretty good April, and then all of a sudden May rolled around and things kind of went south. I think we all learned lessons from that. But I think this year, again, I go back to how deep is the organization, to the point where you have to have your pitchers go more than five innings. You have to go more than two rounds in as far as batters. they're going to have to be pushed a little bit more. And I think they've had enough time to figure that out. And I'm just looking forward to just take place and just see where we go from here, just to see where we are from an evaluation standpoint. As you mentioned, I think we've gotten off to a better start than most thought. Now, what do you do for the next level? Or do you regress a little bit and come back to earth and say, see, I told you so? So there's a lot of things that are going to go on. Now, again, a 17 in a row, the most you can play is 20 in a row before you have to have a day off. 17 in a row, everybody's going to have one of those on the schedule, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not like woke or the Cardinals. It just happens that they're going to face some really good teams, and I think that's a good test. I don't think you want to try and fatten up on just the lower-rung teams and really feel like you're there. You want to be able to see what you look like against the Dodgers, against the Padres, against some of the other teams they're going to face, and then see exactly where you are and see what you need to be better at. And this is going to be a good test.
Sidebar on that, too. At the end of the year, we'll see what it looks like. But the teams that are bad in baseball right now by their records, they were supposed to be better than they are. The Boston Red Sox were supposed to be better than they are. The Kansas City Royals were supposed to be better than they were. The Philadelphia Phillies, the New York Mets. So let's say those teams are better than their record. And then you've got a lot of other teams that have pretty good records. You look up and down just the list of Major League Baseball, it's hard to find a really bad team.
I agree with you. I wouldn't say we have total parity, but I really feel like we've seen teams narrow the gap. Of course, you're going to have your Dodgers, you're going to have your Yankees, you're going to have teams like Toronto who can spend money. But it also translates into saying, well, what about the Mets? What about the Phillies? And you think they're going to be better. But then there's another lane of teams, and we're going to see one this weekend in Seattle. You're going to see a Kansas City. We've seen Cleveland and Tampa, teams that have started to make that step of being consistent season in, season out, to the point where postseason is certainly on their agenda and they want to be beyond the first round. And they try to do, if you look at all these teams, they try to do it internally. And that's something that the Cardinals are trying to do as we speak.
there's been so much talk, Klaibs, about will they go to a six-man rotation when they play the 17 games in a row. And it feels like if they do, Hunter Dobbins would be the guy. He's still on a rehab assignment at AAA Memphis, so they're going to have to make a decision on him at some point if he's actually going to be at Memphis or he's going to be in the big leagues. And I'm not trying to make things harder than they actually are. I hope they do go to a six-man rotation. But at the same time, I think from a roster standpoint, it's actually – a little bit more challenging than you might think it is, just based off you've got some guys on the roster who I know they don't want to lose that are, you know, as far as trying to option them down. It's just, it's going to be an interesting decision-making process for Heim Bloom and Oliver Marmol and everybody involved, because it's not just a really simple, we'll get Hunter Dobbins up here, and there's an easy corresponding move to go along with that.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think even you and I were talking about this at least 3 weeks ago about Ollie talking to us about looking at a six-man rotation. And I thought, yeah, okay, you have Richard Fitz in the organization. Here's a guy with a little big league experience. And, you know, you figure Hunter Dobbins will be back by then. And who knows who else might step up. Well, now you just have Hunter Dobbins. You don't have anyone else who has any real, when you look at their situation, anyone else who has that oomph or that reputation that can stand in and give you six innings somewhere along the way, every fifth day. So it's one of those deals where I go back to my original point. We're gonna find out who we are within the organization, and that not only means who is going to be the guy who's going to be part of a six man rotation, but also which one of these starters currently in the rotation is going to find his way to the seventh inning, because you can't keep using the bullpen in the manner that Ollie has to use him, because the guy's pooped out after five innings and he's thrown 95 pitches. That's unacceptable at this point. I mean, we're almost at the month of May, so you should be stretched out enough where you can at least give your ball club a chance by going beyond five innings.
Yeah, I'm with you on the get into the sixth, complete the sixth. Honestly, I don't even care about the seventh right now. I just want to see. I'm worried about the bullpen. I'm worried about the usage. The bullpen this year has been two guys that you've really been able to count on in Riley O'Brien and JoJo Romero. A couple other guys who have been pretty good in Gordon Graceffo and George Soriano. And then everything else has been very much hit or miss. And that includes somebody like Ryan Stanek, who was brought in to be a high leverage guy. In fact, he was the guy who got the first ninth inning opportunity this year. Oliver Marmol has been pushed into a corner in the way he is being forced to use the bullpen, and it's a twofold thing. It's the lack of length from the starters in addition to the lack of reliable relievers right now in the bullpen.
Well, and you know, when you look at each starter, you know, Kyle Leahy, this is his first time as a starter. So you think each outing he's going to try and go a little longer. Andre Pallante's been in this situation before. He's got to give you more. Dustin May is coming off of a season that he'd like to have back, but now he's fully healthy, and I think he will be a guy that can push through. Then you have Michael McGreevy, who we know can go seven. We saw it last year. And there's Matthew Liberatore, who's got to figure out a way to get to the seventh inning or get through the order at least three times. And you know, now these days, you don't see many guys that can go four times around for a lot of different reasons. And I get it, but again, it goes back to you're only as good as your bullpen. And if you keep using the same guys every night, you won't have anybody available by the 4th of July.
Do you think they rethink, because they've talked openly about the fact that they did want to go to a six-man rotation once the off days dry up. If you go to a six-man rotation, Klaibs, you are taking a player out of the bullpen. Do you think they're rethinking the six-man rotation at this point just based off the fact that they can't afford to play a man down in the pen?
Well, I think it comes down to this. You know, we've seen Gordon Graceffo be that bridge guy now where he's giving you a couple of innings. They have to find another guy who can do that. And you may come down to one of those days where it may be a bullpen start. I mean, one way or the other, it's going to make a change within the bullpen. But you have options other than the sixth man. You know, again, you might have somebody as an opener and try and slip and slide, and you try and do it in that manner. But I think the moon and stars have to be truly aligned for you to be able to be in a position to do that. I'm not the biggest advocate of it because, again, it makes your bullpen short. And with the consecutive days, you have to have somebody who is able to pitch the next day. And that's where we're at now, making sure you have enough ample arms where everybody's not being blown up every day or every other day in some cases. So I think the search is who's going to be your next bridge guy.
And this is where that Shohei Ohtani conversation comes in and why so many people are upset about the rule that the Dodgers are able to go with, because the Dodgers are able to run a six-man rotation. That's what they're doing. But because Ohtani doesn't count against their pitcher limit, they get to have a standard bullpen as well. Every other team in baseball, if they want to go to a six-man rotation, the cost is one player out of the bullpen. The Dodgers are the only team in baseball that get to run a full bullpen and have a six-man rotation. So I understand the people who get upset about that.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the deal. I get it, but maybe you ought to go out and develop a guy who can pitch and also play in the field. I mean, let's face it. Ohtani's a unique situation, and I know that people—I wouldn't call them jealous, but they frown upon the fact that they feel like the league made a special exception for him. Well, maybe they did. But he's an exceptional individual, not because he's with the Dodgers, but if he was in Pittsburgh or if he was in St. Louis or Cleveland or wherever, if you had a person of this talent skill and you're willing to try it, I think the league would probably make the same exception. But as I say that, who's to say who's next? I don't think Ohtani's going to be the only guy that can do this. The problem is within this country, we've kind of gotten away from making a guy a multifaceted baseball player. You either pitch or you play the field. You can't do both. Maybe we ought to take a look at that. And I know that some would say, well, we're trying to save the kid. Well, if the kid can play, I don't think that's an issue. So we have to kind of rethink how we produce players in this country. And let's face it, there wasn't a tree in the backyard in Japan where he just fell out of it. It was one of those unique situations. It's obviously hard because we haven't seen very many other people do it. Now, that doesn't mean people can't do it, because if you look at a guy like Michael Lorenzen, who was a decent batter, but he was nowhere on the line of what we see with Ohtani. And there are other guys, I'm sure, that if you put a bat in his hand and gave him a chance, he might give you something. The problem is we have eliminated that element from pitchers now, whether it's in grade school or high school or wherever you go, pitchers just don't hit anymore. So where do you develop a guy where he can have a legitimate bat but also give you a potent arm?
Unfortunately, the youth baseball in this country is, I mean, there's so much money involved in this. People are doing that. Nobody wants to change the way they do things. And then you even get to the college level and what's going on there, and guys get into pro baseball. And a lot of the reason we don't see guys facing a third time through is because they're not doing it in the minor leagues. So there's a lot going on here. We might continue this part of the conversation in just a moment. Again, if you want to chime in, feel free to leave a comment. For those of you who are watching on the stream, you can also always text into the program as well. That's Mike Claiborne. I'm Matt Pauley. You are locked
in.
Hey,
Matt.
It's the guest. Yeah.
I had a question. How did the draft go for you last night?
It was fine. better than it went for Sean McVay and the Rams, right?
Oh, my goodness. That look he had on his face, like, I can't believe I'm sitting here with this guy coming on my team. But here's what I will give. I'm not the biggest proponent of Roger Goodell. But as I tweeted last night, there were 300,000 people there. They were all had one. They had two things in common. They were rooting for their team, and they were booing Goodell. I've never, ever seen anything like that in my life, where 300,000 people can come together and they have the one thing in common is to let someone know how much they dislike them.
Maybe we can learn something from the people in Pittsburgh on how to come together.
But you know what? I got news for you. If I was making $63 million, I'd say louder.
Yeah.
Louder.
I don't think he has a problem with it. All right, we'll keep talking to baseball. We'll do that in just a moment. This is the Gas House Gang on KMOX. Back out on KMOX, it is the Gas House Gang alongside of Mike Claiborne. I'm Matt Pauley. It is our Friday edition of the program. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Rick Riz is going to be with us, Seattle Mariners broadcaster. Big weekend coming up at the ballpark. Hopefully you get on out tonight. They open up against the Mariners. Claibs, it's the dark mode Cardinals jersey that they are giving away. For people watching, I actually have one of these bad boys. I'm able to show it off. So it's a little bit of a different giveaway, but it's I like it. I think that looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's different. There's no doubt about it. I'm anxious to see what the fan reaction will be. And speaking of which, we have some tickets available for this weekend. They're talking about averaging at least 30,000 for each game. So if you want to come on down, you have the Bud Light Terrace, which is a Budweiser Terrace, which is a real big deal on Friday night at the ballpark. There's so many other fun things taking place within. After the game, John Jay and Daniel Descalzo are going to join Ricky Horton and I myself over Cardinal Nation, and we'll chop it up with those two guys. And, you know, knowing those guys from day one of their careers, it's always fun to talk to them about where they started to where they're at now. And don't forget, on Sunday, we have Kids Day that's coming up. And it's Bark in the Park this weekend, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's Saturday. The Bark in the Park tickets have already been sold out. But if you just want to come experience a baseball game with dogs, you just come on Saturday.
Well, you know what? So every year somebody says, when are you going to bring Maya? When are you going to bring Maya? And this was the year I thought about, okay, this might be a good year. Well, now she's got this this rash or whatever. The allergies have flared up. And now she's walking around with one of those halo. I feel so sorry for her because she can't scratch anything. So I don't know if she's bumping into stuff around the house. So this will be the year. I know she won't be there, but I'm going to be down there at some point. I just need to know where the restroom is.
Yeah, well, between the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, Ricky Horton, and Jim Jackson, rank how welcoming they would be of a dog in the booth.
Well, Ricky loves dogs. I don't think anybody who knows Ricky Horton knows how affectionate he is toward dogs, and just the fact that, you know, Ann is really into horses. She's a great rider. But, you know, if you sit back with Ricky and just get his thoughts on how man's best friend means so much to him, you really appreciate his sincerity. And he's a guy that I was just talking to him the other day about the fact that, well, it was recently about one of the things he loves to do is like give dogs treats, you know, throw them up in the air and play fetch with them. But yeah, I think he's probably the number one guy within our booth that really has an affection for dogs. Now, John Rooney's a dog owner. Jim Jackson's a dog owner. I'm a dog owner. So, you know, we kind of get it. But, you know, once Ricky came over to the other side, I'm surprised I can even get through this about his affection for dogs and how much. And I hope some of our fans can come by the booth tomorrow and come by and let Ricky pet him, maybe get a photo with him.
I don't think
he'd mind that. Yeah. No, well, better yet, why don't you come by the ballpark tonight? Well, he'll be over at Cardinal Nation.
Cardinal Nation is the new home for Friday Night Live. Daniel Descalzo, John Jay will be there tonight. So great opportunity to see them. It's a really, really fun show.
And you know, their story is so great. These guys are best friends. They've been best friends from day one in the Cardinal organization. They won together. They are like brothers. And for them to be on the same staff as coaches, and I predict both of those guys will end up being managers someday. It's just fun to have them around and to watch them grow, not only as players, but as people and as parents, and watching that whole growth process. And I'm so excited for what's in front of them, including winning while they're still coaching on this staff in St. Louis.
Rick Riz coming up in a few minutes. I wanted to touch on this real quick before we get to break. There's a few areas on this team that is not performing at a level that fans would like them to perform at. Offensively, Pedro Páez has not done a whole lot. And you've got a Jimmy Crooks who's performing well at AAA. There's a lot of guys in the bullpen who have not had great starts to their season. And people look at Memphis and try to figure out who might be able to get brought up. I don't so much want to have the conversation about if those moves should be made or not, but I think the more important conversation is we're still fairly early on in the year. How much baseball needs to be played? How deep do we need to get into the season where you think those type of conversations actually should start happening, that you've played enough to know who somebody is and all of a sudden, okay, it's time to maybe go make one of those changes?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think I'm a guy that probably goes through mid-May at least. And the reason why I say mid-May is because I want to give whoever I bring up an opportunity to show me what he has before Flag Day, June 14th. Because by June 14th, I know exactly what I have within my organization, not just my team, but my organization or people who can help me this season. And knowing that, I now know I need to either go out and get someone or move someone or do something along that line. And you still have enough time to be able to compete for a postseason with that kind of time on the calendar. So I would say middle of May. And then you have to kind of look around and figure out, okay, is this person that we think we want to bring up, is he still consistent? Is he still doing the little things that we're looking for and why we want to bring him up? So, you know, I think middle of May would be the opportune time because the schedule kind of flattens out where the consistency of night games and day games is pretty intact. The weather is going to be more consistent. So I think I would look at that time on the calendar.
That's Mike Claiborne. I'm Matt Pauly. Up next, a conversation with Mariners broadcaster Rick Riz in just a moment here on KMOX.
Now, the Cardinals Conversation on KMOX. Sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Cal lead. Here's the pitch of the way. Swinging a line drive into right field. Down the line and toward the corner. A base hit. Cal being waved around third. He'll score. Frazier in at second with a two-out RBI double. Claps his hands. And the Mariners, for the first time in the ballgame, have a 10-9 miraculous lead.
Rick Riz is in his 41st year in the radio booth with the Seattle Mariners. It is going to be his final year, and he's hopeful that it's going to be going for quite some time. A very good Seattle team. Haven't played quite up to what we thought they would be, but still early on in the year. Had a great season last year, and Rick joins us on the program right now. Rick, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Matt and Mike. How are you guys doing? I love the name of your show, The Gas House Gang. So who's Pepper Martin? Who's Leo DeRocher? Who's Dizzy Dean?
You know what? That's a great question that we probably couldn't give you an answer on because most people who were part of that crew aren't around for us to make the comparison. But it's great to have you on with us, my friend. First of all, congratulations on an incredible career. 41 years in the business, and you earned it the right way. Starting off at SIU over in Carbondale and working your way up through the minors. And you've seen a lot and done a lot. But I'll ask you, last season was a fascinating season for Seattle. Not only, in my opinion, one of the best teams I saw all season, but the Cal Raleigh chase it had to be a lot of fun. How did you sit back and enjoy it last year?
Oh, it was amazing. It was a team that Mike and Matt, that they never gave up. It reminded me so much of our club in 1995 that Save Baseball in Seattle refused to lose. We saw these banners in the Kingdom. The Mariners were 13 games out of first place with 2 months left to go. Ken Griffey Jr. finally came back after shattering his wrist at the end of May. But this team never gave up. They won a lot of close games, a lot of one-run decisions, a lot of walk-off wins, and they had great pitching, outstanding defense, and the offense finally clicked in, and they had that great run at the end of the season where they had two long road trips to the East Coast, Mike, where they didn't play well at all. Finally, they won a game, a couple of games in Atlanta. They won 10 in a row and 17 of their next 18 games. So that propelled them to their first division title in 24 seasons. The last time they won a division title in American League West was in 2001. The Houston Astros, as you know, had a great run for 8 years, winning pennants, winning a couple of World Series. But it's a team that just never gave up. I give Dan Wilson so much credit. The coaching staff, Jerry DePoto, has put together a really solid ball club based around starting pitching and that bullpen. And a good lineup that they're just not hitting right now, but they will. So I'm not worried about the offense, but they'll get going. But it was fun to watch Cal's run last year, which is historic. And Mike and Matt, I still can't believe how he didn't win the MVP award as a catcher. 60 home runs.
That was a hit.
Ruth for third most in the American League.
And let's throw this into the equation. He caught one of the best pitching staffs in baseball last year too. Exactly. And that's something I thought was even more epic with regard to his season, being able to be behind the plate every day. Sure, he could have been a DH and really bumped up his numbers a little bit more, but that was his choice to be behind the plate. And I thought they were rewarded not only by having a great pitching staff, but he was also able to provide a great offense.
Oh, he took care of that pitching staff, Mike and Matt, like you wouldn't believe. When they start to go sideways a little bit, he would call timeout and give him a little breather, talk about what to do next with this guy, wherever they were in the count with the next hitter. and things got better right away. I mean, the MVP award is the most valuable player award, and he took a beating behind home plate and played 121 games as catcher, and everybody talked about Aaron Judge, and bless his heart, I love Aaron Judge, and he had 331, but I tell everybody, put a mask, a chest protector, and shin guards on Judge and have him catch 121 games and see if he hit 331. I bet you he wouldn't. You know,
well, we had to find a mask and a chest protector big enough. Yeah, we had to find a mask and a chest protector big enough to put something on like that for Judge. But you make a great point, though. Hey, so Rick, what's been the deal with the Mariners this season? I know they've gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. And also, how is former Cardinal Brendan Donovan doing?
Oh, my gosh. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met in the game of baseball. He's a gamer. He's a baller. He plays the game hard. Right now he's on the IL with a sore hip. Got off to a tremendous start. As soon as the trade was made, I got a text from Chip Carey, and it said, great player, great guy. And, man, was Chip right. This guy is amazing. You know him probably better than I do, but at spring training he'll come up to you and talk with you. He's one of the hardest workers on the team. He's out there early in the morning working on his arm strength because he's playing third base. I think he played a lot of second with the Cardinals the last 4 years. But, man, we miss him. Leo Rivas is doing a nice job filling in. But in the meantime, you know, he's one of the better players. He was an all-star last year, as you know. I'm preaching to the choir here, but he's been outstanding. But to answer your question, we only had two guys hitting. That was Brendan Donovan and Cole Young, the big three. They got off to a real slow start. Cal Raleigh got off to a slow start, and Julio Rodriguez, a typical slow start, but he gets going. And Josh Naylor, but I'm not worried one bit about these guys. You just got to take a look at the back of their bubblegum cards, and they're going to be fine. They're going to hit, but they just weren't hitting. They were hitting like 200 as team and even below for a while, and they weren't hitting with runners in scoring position, and now they're starting to swing the bats. They've been streaky. But once the offense gets going, and it's starting, we're showing good signs of that. Cal now has home runs, I think, in about three consecutive games, hitting well. Julio's hitting well. Josh Naylor, the walk-off hit a couple of days ago, he's hitting well. This club is going to be fine. This is a team that's poised to go the distance, to get to the postseason, and I think to get to the World Series and win it. I think this club is that good. They can win the World Series.
Rick, is there a lesson to be learned? A lot of patience was given to Jerry DePoto, and there were moments during his tenure where there were high expectations going into years, and they didn't meet those expectations, but they stayed the course. He continued to do his job, and now the organization is clearly a great year last year, and by all accounts, probably going to have a very good year this year. It seems like patience has really paid off for the organization.
Man, in baseball, that's one thing I learned 52 years in the game. I spent 41 here, 3 with the Tigers, 8 years in the minor leagues. I've seen different organizations and different regimes, and that's what you have to have. You have to have patience because it takes a while to build an organization from top to bottom, and it starts with the draft. You know, your scouting department has to be right on. You can't miss with that first-round pick, and the Mariners didn't do that. They didn't miss. In 2018, Matt and Mike, they got – Logan Gilbert with the first round. In 2019, George Kirby, who's pitching tonight against the Cardinals. And 2020, they got Emerson Hancock, who's been one of the best pitchers in the American League this year. In 2021, they got Bryce Miller, who's on the IL right now, but was outstanding a couple of years ago. In the fourth round, they got him in the fourth round, Brian Wu in the sixth round in 2021. And he was one of the best pitchers in the league last year. So you have to build from within. You have to build through your farm system. They did that. They got the pitching. Then they added Luis Castillo with a big trade with the Reds in July of 2022. The Rock has been outstanding, one of the best ERAs in the history of the Mariners franchise. And then the offense got going. Here's Cal Raleigh in the third round in 2018, same draft as Logan Gilbert and the other players they got. And now it's an organization. It's a team at the top and through the minor leagues. They still have one of the best farm systems in the minor leagues that are producing talent, but you have to have patience. You have to believe in the starting pitching will come around, and it did in a big way, and that's why this Mariner ball club really turned around the last few years, and they have a chance to win it all this year.
Hey, Rick, before we let you go, you mentioned 52 years in the business, and we wish you nothing but the best when this season is over with. Give me the one story that you look back on in your career, and maybe it's even in the minor leagues, that makes you appreciate what you've had a chance to accomplish.
Oh, my gosh, Michael. Jeez, so many things have happened. I got a break, with my best buddy in college at Southern Illinois University. Oh, by the way, I just talked with a good friend of mine yesterday. He makes his home in St. Louis now. I played ball with him at SIU. John Hoschite was a heck of a player in college, and I think he signed with the Yankees and played with the Royals organization for 3 years. But that brought back some great memories. But John Dietrich gave me a chance to get into the minor leagues in 1975, and I was a clubhouse guy. I washed the uniforms and shined the shoes for the visiting teams for Bruce Sutter, who was with the Midland Cubs, and Jack Clark with the Lafayette Drillers, Mitchell Page with the Shreveport Captains. I just love the game of baseball, as you guys do, and I just stayed with it. For some reason, I gave myself 10 years to get to the big leagues, and thank God I made it in 8. But it just taught me so much about never giving up on yourself, believing in yourself. I love the game of baseball. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. I love the Cubs and the White Sox. Ernie Banks was my hero, and Louis Aparicio, Jack Brickhouse, Hall of Fame broadcaster. Wrote him a letter when I was 12. But I saw all these guys work so hard to get to the big leagues. I figured I've got to do the same thing. And, that's what I did. And I've been blessed to do what I've loved to do for the last 52 years. I don't know if that answers your question, but it's just the overall joy of the game of baseball that has got me to this point.
Are you? That's a great answer. I love that. Are you taking it in a little bit yet? You know, this will be as you come into St. Louis. This is going to be a final opportunity to broadcast games in St. Louis, in all likelihood. Just can you talk me through your mental process going forward?
Yeah, well, I'm not even there. I'm in my kitchen here in Issaquah, Washington, with my cat Sparky, who I named after Sparky Anderson. I'm only going on 4 road trips this year, and I already went on 2, so I'm missing this one. I wish I was there so I could see my buddy John Hoschite and Danny Wexelman, who I got to meet during the playoffs last year, and Chip Carey, Miss Chip, and my great buddy John Rooney. I love John Rooney. He's been one of my best friends and for the last 40-something years in baseball. He's amazing. He called me up yesterday, so I'm going to miss John. But, I'm going to take everything in. I'm not going to Boston this year, but last year when I was at Fenway Park in April, I had Shannon Dreher take a picture of me with the Green Monster saying, Shannon, I think this is going to be my last time here in Fenway Park as a broadcaster. So I'm going to take in every drop of the season. It's going to be a great year, and they're going to win it for the fans here in the Pacific Northwest. But I'm getting melancholy already thinking about it, but I'm going to be a wreck at the end of the season. I guarantee you that.
Well, inhale it all, Rick, and we're so happy for you, and hopefully you'll be part of the last game of the season against the team in the National League. Maybe it's us, maybe it's somebody else, but hopefully you're going to be part of that, and that's the way you should end it.
50 seasons of Mariners baseball, and I've had the joy of bringing it to the fans for 41 years here, and they deserve it, Mike. They really do. They've been waiting for a long time to get to the postseason. They finally did that in 1995, and these fans here in the Pacific Northwest are unbelievable. They deserve a World Series champion, so hopefully it'll come this year. I believe it can.
Well, we hope it starts after this weekend when they start playing better. I'll be rooting for them too on Monday. Trust me. I'll be rooting for them like nobody on Monday. Hey, Rick, as always, man, we appreciate you. Thank you for everything you've meant to not only Seattle but to the game. And we wish you nothing but the best once the last pitch is called. And enjoy that retirement. Although I think we'll still see you around the ballpark.
Oh, I'm still going to be around the ballpark. I'm going to do something for the Mariners. I'll be with the alumni group. Whatever they need me to do, I'll do it. But it's time for the younger guys, and we'll see what the next chapter is for me. But, Michael, it's always great to see you. Low these many, many years, and when Mike Shannon was there and Jack Buck and all the great broadcasters. Matt, it's great to visit with you. So I wish you guys all the best, man. Always great to talk with you, Mike and Matt.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right, guys. See you later.
That's Rick Riz joining us on the program. Klaibs, how many people out there can get away with dropping Michael for you, calling you Michael?
Well, normally when that name is used, I'm in trouble. I'm really in trouble when they use my middle name. But, You know, there's a handful of people that can get away with that, and Rick's one of them. But like I said, normally, man, when I hear my name, Michael, it's either you've known me from grade school or I'm in really big trouble. That's the only times I've ever heard it.
That might be the first time I've ever heard anybody call you Michael. So I enjoyed it. Rick now has a special place in my heart because I got to hear him call
Mike
you Michael.
Mike Shannon would call me that from time to time. But yeah, I can name the people on one hand who still do it. So Rick Riz, now I have to use both hands now because now Rick Riz is now part of that club.
That's not a fun start anything.
We'll
move on. We'll move on.
I'm just saying because somebody else, if I start having people calling me Michael today at the ballpark, I know where it came from. It started here today thanks to Rick Riz.
There you go. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the program looking ahead to this weekend. You're locked into the Gas House Gang here on KMOX.
Now back to the Gas House Gang.
Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Just a few minutes left on this edition of the program. Dave Glover Show on the way next right here on KMOX. I'll be back with you at 5 o'clock this evening alongside of Kevin Wheeler and Bernie Miklas for the for Redbird Rush Hour. And then we'll get into Cardinals baseball coming up after that. Alongside of Mike Claiborne, I'm Matt Pauly. Cardinals broadcast begins at 6:20 tonight, opening up a three-game series at home against Seattle. Only three home games for the Cardinals between April 15th and May 1st. So if you want to watch the Cardinals, this is the weekend to get out to do it against a pretty good Seattle team. Claves, the pitching matchups this weekend, Andre Pallante is going to go tonight against George Kirby. Matthew Liberatore is going to go on Saturday against Brian Wu. And then on Sunday, Michael McGreevy against Emerson Hancock. Hancock this year, sub-3 ERA. He's kind of the least known name of that group, but he's put together a really good season. So I think the matchups this weekend are interesting.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if we're going to see a lot of runs scored, so it'll be even more fun to watch and see how teams are going to have to manufacture runs along the way. And, you know, we talked about Seattle. You know, if they have one thing going for them, they can pitch. I mean, they don't have an easy guy in their rotation, so it's going to be tough for the Cardinals. But, you know, they've been game planning for this. They know what they have to do, and they had a pretty good series against this team last year. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. We're going to have some good crowds. The weather should be good. No more rain in the forecast. So if you have nothing else going, this would be a good way to come on down and check out the Cardinals for the last time of the month of April, which is crazy.
Yeah, it is. Run scoring on the road trip was pretty good. They had that five-game winning streak where they averaged close to six runs per game. And then even in the series against the Marlins, they had just the one game in the series finale where they scored just the one run. I think they've been all right offensively. I'm really curious to see what the Cardinals look like and how they score their runs this weekend against Seattle.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a real challenge. And as Rick Riz was talking about how some of the Mariners are starting to come out of the early season funk. So they're going to have to not only find a way to score, but they're going to have to find a way to pitch also. And that's what's going to, I think, is going to make this a pretty fun weekend of baseball.
Ollie was joking around with Chip Carey at one point during the broadcast that he'd really like to see the Cardinals just go out and win one by a bunch of runs. There's a reason the run differential is what it is. When they're winning, Claves, they're winning close. And I guess when it feels like if you're going to win games against Seattle, like it's really hard to imagine that this is going to be one of those series where they go out and outscore the Mariners by a ton. And maybe that's going to happen at some point, but it does feel like we're still at a point with this team where they're going to have to continue to win games close.
Well, for now, it looks that way. And it would be nice to see what Ollie would look like when he doesn't have to either play from behind or have a one-run lead going into the eighth inning. He hasn't had many blowout games here recently, but it would be a bad idea to get one this weekend against a very good team in Seattle.
Yeah, I just continue to think it's really remarkable that the relief pitching has had questions, offensively hit or miss, starting rotation has been sometimes okay, sometimes not okay, and despite all of that, I mean, the sum of the parts look like this team should not be four games over 500, but here they are, and there's a lot of people who deserve credit for that. Ollie deserves credit, the coaching staff deserves credit, the players who are coming up with, you know, big plays and big moments, but if you were to just show the stats of this team without the record, I think most people would be surprised with what the record is.
Yeah, you got to watch them in order to believe it. This is where the numbers may not lie, but I think the actual account really gives you a better idea of who they are and what they have a chance to be.
Once again, that's Mike Claiborne. I'm Matt Pauley. The plan for the rest of the day here on KMOX. We've got the Dave Glover Show. That is coming up in just a few moments. When that wraps up, Kevin Wheeler will stick around. He, Bernie Miklos, and myself will have you for Redbird Rush Hour. And then a little bit after that wrapping up, we'll get into Cardinals baseball. Network coverage begins at 6:20. Claibs, always appreciate it. We'll see you at the ballpark coming up later on today.
And we'll see you at Cardinal Nation after that.
Cardinal Nation tonight for Friday Night Live. John Jay, Daniel Descalso, the featured guest. Get on out to Cardinal Nation, brand new home for Friday Night Live. Thanks to Rick Riz. Thanks to Matt Pajeski for taking care of us today. For Mike Claiborne, I'm Matt Pauley. This has been the Gas House Gang on KMOX.